Steve Fox Home Remodeling Show with your host, Bryce Jacob, on 610 WTBN.
Good morning and Happy New Year. I'm Bryce Jacob, your host. And now you'll quickly learn something about me. I get pretty excited pretty easily, and not only is a new year a great way to get me started, but so is a new talk show here on 610 WTBN. Now, for those of you who are tuned in currently, you're the first ones to be listening to this program that will begin airing every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Now, the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show is designed to provide in-depth information about your most valuable asset, your home. So we'll be doing this every week, and we're going to introduce you to a vast world of home improvement, remodeling, and construction knowledge that will immediately be able to be put to use. Now, I couldn't think of a better guest to have on our first show than the president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers, and he's with us here in the studio today, and he's going to really walk us through quite a bit about the remodeling industry and you as a homeowner, what you should be expecting if you're thinking about taking on a project, whether it be yourself or whether you decide to hire someone to come into your home. So, Gary, welcome.
Thanks, Bryce. Good to be here.
Yeah, and Happy New Year to you.
And likewise.
Well, good. So I know you've got quite a history in the remodeling industry, and you've kind of taken several different approaches to remodeling over the years. And why don't you let us get to know you a little bit and maybe your path of getting to where you are at Dave Fox.
Sure, Bryce. Well, it starts, I guess, from being a kid and just being handy with my hands and loving to build things. And I remember even in a high school shop, I went to Dublin High School back when there was only one, so that's kind of giving my age away a little bit. But I won the shop award in high school. That's the only award I ever won in high school. But that's the class I love the most. And my shop teacher was just thrilled with me, you know, building projects, and then I loved it, and he kept feeding me this neat wood, and I kept coming up with these projects to build, and I even had teachers coming to me with things for me to build for them. So that was a fun experience. I've just always loved working with my hands, and I think that's really what kind of ended up getting me into the remodeling business. When I graduated from high school, went to college for a year, really not knowing what to do, and then the summer after my first year of college, I began working for a siding and roofing company, and this was up in Findlay, Ohio. And because I was born and raised in Columbus. So I worked at that for a summer, me and another fella. And I just really loved the work. I loved being outdoors. We both just talked amongst ourselves and thought, well, you know, I'm 19, he's 20, let's just start our own business. So with just a little bit of gumption and not too many brains, we started off into the remodeling business. Starting in siding and roofing, which is a pretty easy thing to get into. So it was kind of interesting in those early days. We both enjoyed doing things like hunting in the outdoors, so I think we spent about as much time hunting and fishing as we did working those first couple years. Mm-hmm. Neither of us were married. We were kind of footloose and fancy free. And I think one of the kind of humorous things I recall early on was one of our first jobs was a roofing job, and it was in the winter time, and my partner Terry and I were up on the second floor roof, and we were tearing all the shingles off and right down to the sheathing, and a lot of the older homes had gaps between the wood sheathing, like 3 inches or so. So we get this roof all cleaned off and tore off, and we're all bundled up in our coats up on the second floor, and all of a sudden, snow starts pouring down. And I mean, in heaps and buckets. And here I am scratching my head on top of this roof thinking, oh my gosh, what do we do? Is snow going to get in the house? Man, I should have insurance.
Oh gosh, that's a good time to think about getting insurance is when you're on someone's roof.
Exactly. So it's just funny how through business and going through the school of hard knocks over many years, you just find out how naive you are sometimes when you venture off into these things.
So it all started in shop class, huh?
Well, yeah.
That's pretty interesting. You had people requesting things. So, you know, I like to build things in my time, but I've never actually had anyone ask me to build them anything. So you're way ahead of me there.
We can work on that.
So okay, so you started out really, would you consider that a replacement contractor then, where you're doing siding and you're doing some roofing? And
Yeah, exteriors and replacement contracting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so did you have long-term goals of having your business evolve to something else, or was that really something you were really content with?
Well, at those days, long-term goals were really not part of my life. You know, it was just kind of living one day to the next and seeing what whatever came my way.
Well, that's kind of how we do this radio show, one show to the next here. So that's good. And so you were in Findlay, and from Findlay you ended up, from what I understand, you left Findlay, you sold your business, and then you headed west, is that right?
Yeah. Well, you know, while I was in Findlay, you know, I mentioned how I started, and it's kind of interesting because I know we're going to be talking about the different types of remodeling programs there are out there and the different kind of contractors, but it's interesting because in Findlay, I got to basically evolve through a lot of these stages, you know, just starting from the basic pickup truck and myself and a couple helpers through the different stages, which we'll talk about, I know, in a few minutes here. But, yeah, as my... by the time I left, I was ready to leave Findlay. That was in about 1989. So by then, you know, I had gone through a lot of these stages of remodeling evolution in a business. And I've always been real active in the church and just was ready for a change in my life. And I decided I wanted to attend the Bible college. So we sold the business, my wife and I, in Findlay, and moved out to Portland, Oregon. So I thought that's a great place to go because, as I mentioned, I love the outdoors and hunting and fishing. So what better place to go to Bible college than the Oregon with all of its beauty and scenic...
And plump animals.
Animals and fish.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. So I know that is one of the things you just referred to. We're going to talk quite a bit about the different types of contractors and maybe how their businesses may be structured, and for homeowners as they're thinking about hiring somebody or taking a challenge on themselves, who they should approach and how they should go about, you know, identifying the contractor to be the right fit for the way they want to approach that. So would you say that the client base that you had when you first started out, the approach that they've used with you may be different from the way that they come looking for business from you today, being in design build? And
yeah, I'd say there's a vast difference. Back when I first started, you know, we were just thrilled to get a job. You know? And I remember we went door to door, and this was in Findlay, Ohio, which the reason I think I landed in Findlay and started a business there was I attended Bowling Green State University that one year, and then kind of ended up...
Of course, a falcon. You like hunting, so why not have an animal?
So in Findlay, you know, it was just my partner and I, we were young, and we would go door to door to get some work, or we'd have friends or family, or, you know, our parents, you know, my partner's parents lived in town there, so they would know some people that needed work done. So we were just thrilled to get a gutter job or a roof job or a siding job. And, you know, it wasn't because we had a great reputation or because we had a strong business plan. It was just because here's a couple guys, they look honest and they look reliable, and, the price is pretty doggone competitive, so I think we'll give them a try on our home.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I know you mentioned the pricing, and how is pricing determined by the type of business, typically?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, when you're young and have no business plan, it's determined by what are your needs the next week.
Okay. So it could be a low price or a high price?
Yeah, exactly. Or if I have two siding jobs in my back pocket, then maybe the next job is priced a little higher because I have a little comfort. But I'm just kind of, you know, being a little humorous here. But really... you know, there's a number of ways to sell, and you kind of sell, I think, according to what you have to offer. And obviously, somebody looking for experience, security, all the things that come with a very established and strong company, you know, they're not looking for who I was back then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's... people who maybe they need just a few gutter pieces done, or maybe they need a siding project, or maybe they need something that's not that involved, and they don't mind, you know, taking a small contractor on, giving them a project to do. It's just there's so many different levels of service and offering that a remodeling company can have through the various stages and the different types of remodeling.
Well, good. Well, why don't we take a break here, and then when we come back, let's get a little bit deeper into some of the details of what people might be looking for here. So, Gary, we'll be back with us after the break. We're going to head to break, and There'll be a lot more that we share with you, so stay tuned to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show here on 610 WTVN. Welcome back to the Dave Fox Remodeling Show here on 610 WTVN. I'm your host, Bryce Jacob. And with me is a special guest. He's president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers here in Central Ohio, Gary Demas. Now, before the break, Gary was talking to us a little bit about his history, how he got into the remodeling business, starting out in shop class and evolving to where he is today. And Gary, why don't we talk a little bit more in depth about how your business may have evolved, and take us through some of the stages of how your business evolved and shaped into what it is today.
Yeah, Bryce. Well, as I was speaking in the earlier segment, when I started, I was 19. I had a partner that was 20. And we started just with a pickup truck and a few jobs here and there that we got. So I think that's kind of where probably most remodelers start. And remodeling is a business that's very easy to get into, especially in Findlay, where there were really no building codes. And I don't even think there are to this day, unlike Columbus and the area here, where we've got very established codes and inspections. But in Findlay, if you had a hammer and a pickup truck, you could be in the remodeling business in a heartbeat. So that's good and bad.
Whether you were good in shop class or not, huh?
That's right.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the beginning, and a lot of more established remodelers always, you know, kind of reminisce back to those days when they were in that and starting from that stage in their business. But there's great guys out there, good, honest, hardworking guys, you know, that are at that stage. And I've even seen some people, Bryce, who would start at that stage, their business would get bigger, it just became too much of a headache and too much hassle for them, and they actually went right back to that. Because mm-hmm. it's a very easy business to run. It is very time consuming. I remember at that stage, my children were young. My wife would take calls during the day while I was out working, and then I would run leads at night and appointments at night. So I remember thinking, my gosh, you know, here I am young in life. My children are young. They're demanding my time. My business, I'm working during the day. I have to go on these appointments at evening. It's like I just don't have time to do all this. So it's a huge time commitment at that stage because you just don't have the help around you that you need. So there's a lot of work, but it's very rewarding, especially if you love working with your hands and building things, because that's one of the fun things about this business is just being able to work hard during the day and walk away knowing what you've done and you can see something tangible. So you've got, you know, that's the very first stage, I think, of a remodeling business. Contractor, pickup truck, one or two helpers, and like I say, that is meeting a needed market out there. There's mm-hmm. people that these contractors are very helpful to. That's where I started. I have great respect for these guys. Then you've got, let's say you're doing that for 3 or 4 years and word's getting around. You're doing a great job. People are telling their neighbors about you and kind of word of mouth is getting, and you're getting some phone calls now. So you find that you're not able to keep up with all the jobs that you're getting and you need to get more help. So as you evolve in remodeling, just like many businesses, there's ceilings that you kind of break through, and they can be painful because you find yourself short-staffed as you're growing your business. So I think the next stage then is you realize that you can't do it all yourself. You have more projects than you and your helper can do, or you and your two helpers can do. So you need to get another crew leader, somebody that can run another crew. And that's a big step, because you're, you know, kind of putting your trust now in someone else to go out and do projects for people, and mm-hmm. you're not there seeing it and observing it. So that's, I think, kind of the next step in evolution is you have a contractor now with multiple crews. Still working out of your home. Your wife's probably still taking the phone calls. She might even, if you're lucky, she might be doing some of the accounting for you.
And for clarification, do you have insurance by now?
Yes, I have. Thank goodness I have insurance,
okay,
yes.
Good.
So when you become the contractor with multiple crews, it's because you're getting more opportunity for work where people are calling. And I remember at that stage, I wasn't as available to be working 8 hours a day then, because now I'm having to sell work for two crews or three crews. So my job as a salesperson becomes much more important.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I've still got all the other responsibilities that go with it. So it's still a very busy time. And these contractors I admire a lot for the time and effort they put into it. But, you know, they do it because they love the business. And then as you got the multiple crews, you know, and then you're working eight hours a day during the day, and then 4 or 5 hours in the evening, you're getting burned out, you're getting a little older, your family's getting demanding more of your time.
So sounds charming.
That's great. I recommend it for everybody.
Anyone can do this.
No, that's right.
The hammer, pickup truck, you got it. Then you just realize, you know, I need more help than this. I need some office staff. I need somebody to help me with my accounting. I need somebody besides my wife, you know, who's, bless her heart, has been answering all these phone calls all these years. And that means I need to have a place of business now. I've got to rent an office or buy an office building. So that's like the next stage, and that's the next ceiling you break through.
But, okay, so I'll stop you for a second. Yeah. Would you agree that at this stage, a lot of these business owners start to make a decision of whether they really want to grow or whether they maybe want to join a company that's already growing? Or did you at any point, I guess what I'm getting at, is at any point really evaluate where you were, and was growth the only option to you at that point?
That's an interesting question. And I don't know that at the time I thought about it that way. I almost felt like I was almost a slave to the business at that point, because the demand was there. It was pulling me, and maybe even more than I was willing to go. So, and it didn't even occur to me, I don't think, to go seek out another company where I could just kind of plug into something bigger. Now, Findlay was a smaller town, and there really weren't that.
So you were the big shot.
Well,
and the small trying to be.
Okay. Yeah, so it was more just kind of the natural evolution of things and just the pull of the business on the demands on my life. So that's what really got me thinking then about, okay, what's the next step here? What do I do? I have to, and I remember looking around town and finding a older home that was in a business district, and I thought, well, I'll purchase that and remodel it, turn it into a kitchen and bath showroom. Mm-hmm. That'll give me an office. I'll hire somebody to come in and answer the phones and help me with accounting. So that was a big decision, because now I'm taking on a lot more overhead. You know, now I've got another payment to make, monthly payment for real estate.
And you have to sell more now.
I have to sell more. I've got more staff, you know, and more people depending on payroll. So that's one of those ceilings that is kind of hard to push through, but it's kind of like the business just pulls you through those stages. That was an exciting time, though. I felt, I think, more like a bona fide, legitimate business at that point, because I had a showroom, I had a place of business, and a different mailing address than my personal home, and a different phone number than my personal home.
Your wife's not answering the calls.
That's right. Yeah, she was excited about this. I gave her more time to, you know, just to focus on the kids and what they were doing in school. So I remember when I opened the showroom in Findlay, we had a big grand opening, and we had the Chamber of Commerce come over, and I even have the picture to this day of the ribbon cutting ceremony. So that was a very exciting time. And that'll take a little while to describe that, so maybe we'll want to wait till the next break.
Because I think I'm curious to know a lot about how design build ended up being your home, where you are today, and a little bit about what design build means to folks. And then also, again, going back to what homeowners should expect when they go through any of those or go to any of those types of professionals. And that's something else I want to talk about, is how the professionalism of the industry has changed, because I think there's been some pretty significant changes over the past few decades
as well.
So how about we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll cover some of those topics. Once again, you're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show here on 610 WTVA.
The Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show with your host, Bryce Jacob, on 610 WTVN.
Welcome back to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show. This is Bryce Jacob, your host. And once again, we have Gary Demas, president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers, as our guest today. Before we left for a break, we were just going through quite a bit of the evolution that Gary's been through over the past few decades here and his experience in the remodeling industry. And Gary, I think you were just talking about how you established your business. You now have a showroom, and you've got people coming into the showroom. You got an established place of business, mm-hmm. and your wife is no longer answering the phone, and you're really starting to get into the big leagues. So where do you evolve from here? I mean, is this the top for you, or do you keep on going somewhere?
Well, you know, it's kind of a stepping stone. You know, we talked about just the contractor and pickup truck, and then the contractor with multiple crews, and now the contractor who has an office and a staff and taking some of the load off of him. And as I was talking about that, the personal responsibility when you're in these previous stages is just overwhelming for the business owner, because you don't usually have a separate accountant and someone to answer the phones other than
you're everything.
So you're everything. Well, now you're getting to the level where you can start to share these responsibilities, and that is great. It's a huge weight off of your shoulders, but it adds the financial burden back on, because now you've got more financial outlay and more responsibility there for the people that are working for you. So that's really, I think, a huge step in the evolution of a remodeling contractor, or you know, the different phases of services that a remodeler would have to offer.
Now, Gary, would you say that at this point still your business is primarily through word of mouth, or are you having to get out there and get creative with how to generate new opportunities through marketing, whatever mm-hmm. it might be?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bryce, because different companies handle that differently. There are companies that can be successful just by word of mouth only, and they can maintain a very nice business through word of mouth. I think the nice thing about marketing is that it really, you know, offers your services to a broader array of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a great company and you're offering a great service, then why not, you know, get your name out to people that can benefit from that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, as I've always looked at this business as being a service to clients and there to help people. So if you're doing a good job of that, if that's where your heart's at, then you ought to do the best job that you can. And so I was doing some marketing, and I was advertising in the newspaper some, and in some publications, as well as getting a lot of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So so that's what kind of pulls you to here. You're doing some marketing, you're getting word of mouth, you're getting, again, more opportunities, and that helps your business grow. So from that stage then of having your office and the staff, then you know, you don't always add a showroom at that point, but that's, I think, the next step is to have, even if it's a small showroom, just something to show off your work and your products. And again, that kind of puts you in a little more of, in the minds of clients, I think they have more trust in someone that's got that kind of an investment in their business. They know they're there to stay. They're serious about it. They're committed to it. So I think that gives homeowners more assurance that they're dealing with somebody who is a professional. They're in this for the long haul, and it is their professional business. You know, we talked about remodeling, how that pretty much anybody can get into it. And professionalism is something that back in those years, Bryce, was all over the place. I mean, you'd have some guys who were very unprofessional and some who were professional. And I think over the years, if there's one big change I've seen in this industry, it is that the level of professionalism has really increased dramatically in the 30-plus years that I've been in the business. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into design build. But now that I've added my showroom and I have a few kitchen vignettes and a few bath displays that people can come in and look at and actually purchase some product through me, you know, I'm feeling like quite the business person now, and I was very proud of that. And I remember having my kids in and taking photographs of them, you know, next to the displays, and I think even marketed that a little bit in some advertising. But I think that's the next step then would be when you go to becoming a full-service remodeler. Mm. And that's where you're a very established business, you know, and you have insurance.
So joke from previous.
And you've had insurance now for many, many years.
Right. Okay.
Just as you fell through the roof.
That's right.
And you have legitimate employees, and you're paying all the employment taxes, and you're legal with the government, and you're doing everything right the way you're supposed to
just
do.
Just in case they're listening, right?
That's right.
You can still be audited from years ago.
Okay.
So now you're full service.
You're a full service.
Mean?
Okay. That is a company who can really deliver a great project in a very comprehensive, large-scale project. It could be a full-fledged kitchen remodel, full-fledged gut remodel bathroom. It could be a nice room addition, a multiple room addition, a nice basement finish. So now you've got the contractor who has a great staff. He's got office staff. He's got good production staff. He would have a production supervisor who's managing all the production team. He'd have multiple project managers or lead carpenters who are out there running the different projects and crews. So you've got a real bona fide business. He's got structure. He's got systems in place. He's got forms, procedures. And he's running a good business that's meeting the needs of these clients. A full-service remodeler, from my point of view, is someone who is offering all these services, but he's usually outsourcing his design work.
Mm-hmm.
So he may have an architect involved. He may have an interior designer that he works with outside of his place of business. But he's got the manpower and the capability, the know-how to pull off large-scale projects. But the design work is usually done by a third-party person. So you've got, you know, those two different elements mm-hmm. involved.
Now, when you say that that's the preliminary design work or just the permitting plans or really from start to finish coming up with the conceptual plans mm-hmm. and the vision of the whole scope of the project?
Yeah, I think that would depend on what the project is. Sometimes a homeowner will have just a kitchen, a small kitchen. They just want it replaced, updated mm-hmm. with new cabinetry. Well, you know, it doesn't take a lot of design work to just change cabinets, change paint color. Some homeowners are very comfortable selecting those items on their own, and that's what they prefer. So a full-service remodeler would be ideal in that scenario. He's coming in. You don't really have to do much design work. You're kind of upgrading what you've got. So in some of those scenarios, I don't think the design work would need to be outsourced. You might have another scenario where you do have some intensive design work or some mm-hmm. structural issues that need some attention. So there, I think that a full-service remodeler would typically outsource those design or structural elements.
Mm-hmm. So you go from full-service, and then would you say the next step is then looking at what design-build is? Mm-hmm. So bringing the design components in-house, whether it's the architectural design or whether it's the interior design or both?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think design-build is kind of where you end up if you go through this full evolution. And, you know, like I say, not every business does this. It's not right for every business. Some businesses are very comfortable at some of these other stages and do a terrific job and are very successful at that level, and that's terrific. But I think if you continue to evolve in the business, you finally end up at the design build scenario. And that's where you are bringing design services in-house. You may have a staff of interior designers. You may have an architect on staff. You may have some licensed mechanical people on staff. So now you're pretty much taking full accountability for the project from the beginning to the end, from the design to the production. So this is kind of like maybe the fine dining, if you're comparing restaurants and what restaurants offer. You know, you've got the fast food, you've got the smaller family restaurants, you've got the diners, and you have fine dining. So, you know, you've got all those different scenarios available in the remodeling business and what different companies have to offer.
You're making me hungry talking about remodeling. I didn't know that would happen today.
Okay. So in design build, as I said, you're bringing all the services now under one roof. And the nice thing about that is there's one-stop accountability. You know, there's one company now that's responsible from the beginning to end. It eliminates the finger-pointing or any confusion. So you've got several things working here. You've got accountability to a budget because all of our clients, you know, work from budgets, and we respect that and honor that. So when you're design build, you're accountable to that budget. You've got accountability through the sales presentation, through the drawings, how they're interpreted, how they're presented, all the documentation. And then you move through the production side and producing that project and making sure that it's watched and built according to design. And that's where a lot of finger pointing can come into play, is when if you have those outsourced to different parties, if there's ever questions during the construction, is this meeting the design criteria, or can this even be built the way it was designed? It's nice to have that all under one roof.
Yeah, I think that's a great spot to take another break here real quickly. And when we come back, I think you're starting to touch on the client experience and expectations that they have. So everyone's been sitting on the edge of their seat as they've heard about the evolution here, and I know they're eager to hear how this these different types of businesses might fit them best. So when we come back from break, let's talk a little bit more about that. Once again, you're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show here on 610 WTVN. Please join us here back in a few minutes after these messages. And we still have Gary Demas, president of Dave Fox Design Build Remodelers, as our guest today. And Gary, we've been talking over this last hour here about really the evolution you've gone through in the business, and also the types of contractors that are out there that consumers may cross paths with if they're thinking of doing a remodeling project. So I'm going to throw you a little curveball here, and I'm going to quiz you. Since we know that there's the guy in his truck, there's the guy in his crew as he gets a little bigger, and then we have an established place of business where they may have a showroom or at least a different phone number from the home phone number, and then they're full-service remodelers as well that can handle larger construction projects, and then you have the design build company. So if I'm a homeowner and I really... I have a good idea of what I want to do in a project. Mm-hmm. I think I've been watching enough HGTV, and I go, I know exactly what I want to do at this bathroom. I just need to know who can build this project. It's a bathroom project, and it's my master bathroom. I want it to look nice. Who should maybe that kind of consumer take a look at?
Yeah. A couple of things you need to consider is there's the actual layout of the project, which... a lot of homeowners can have an idea of what they want to do. Obviously, they've lived in a house a long time, and they know what's working and what isn't working for them. So if they're comfortable with what they want to do with the layout, and also are comfortable in selecting all the product that goes in there, the colors, the textures, the looking at the different tile and fixtures and all the things that go with that, then a full-service remodeler would be a perfect fit for that, because they've got the systems in place to get a project like that done. They can handle all the permit processing, and they can do a phenomenal job at the production side of it. They're not going to be there to offer all the design assistance, but if the client is comfortable doing those, then a full-service remodeler would be a great scenario for
them. Okay, so here, let's see how you do with this one. It's a snowy time of year like it is right now, and someone wants to put in a skylight to get a better look of the snow falling. Who should they go to?
Yeah, a skylight would be a great project for a crew with a pickup truck, as long as he has his insurance.
Yeah, the snow falling. I was hoping to catch you on. So.
Okay. But that's a project that can be handled by a couple guys in a day, just cutting in a new skylight. And there's a lot of great craftsmen out there who are working out of a pickup truck and can do a phenomenal job with something like that.
Okay. So, okay, another scenario here. You have a husband and wife. They both work. They're busy. They work full hour shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really have time to manage a project, really know that what they want to do is remodel their kitchen, aren't sure how to go about doing it, just know that when they entertain, it's not efficient. They're not going to want to micromanage this project or have hands-on with it. What do they do then?
Yeah, that's the perfect scenario for a design-build firm, because the design-build firm is going to have all the assistance they need. And, when you have professional business people working and they don't have time during the day to just be running around looking at tile or looking at flooring. And, I like to tell people that if you've got a great interior design staff, it's kind of like, if you're doing a Google search, you're hoping that what you're looking for is on that first page. You don't want to sift through 500,000 pages of information to find what you're looking for.
Right.
Well, a great design staff will look at your home, they'll interview you, talk to you, find out what you want to accomplish. Then they pull together the things that are going to make sense. So they're putting in front of you just a few things, and it saves a lot of stress and anxiety and speeds time up tremendously.
Okay, so we've got design, build, full service, guy and his crew. You want light fixtures changed out in the house.
Mm-hmm. You talk to your husband about that.
Okay. Speaking of husbands, because we're a wacky bunch,
yeah.
Because we've all been in shop class and thought we excelled. And I think a lot of times men get themselves in positions where they try to take on more than they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the wife who calls and mm-hmm. says, you know, my husband started a project, didn't finish. And so what do you do in that scenario other than maybe recommend a marriage counselor?
Yeah, you know, taking on an unfinished project is a whole different scenario. And it's really not something that a lot of remodels will do, unfortunately, because you never know all the dynamics of what occurred there. And it's just kind of, quite frankly, walking into sometimes a no-win scenario. If mm-hmm. someone has started something and hasn't been able to finish it, that's why I think it's so important for clients to do their homework and make sure they, you know, are finding somebody that's very capable and qualified to do what they're looking for.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, I think hopefully this has been helpful to all the listeners today and hearing the type of different contractors and maybe the journey you've gone through and learned about on the way. You know, I know that it's an exciting industry. I know that when people ask what you do and you mention that you're in the remodeling business, it's you get a lot of the questions, well, I've got a kitchen or I've got a bathroom that has this problem. What would you do? And it's a pretty engaging topic that we all get on. It's a little different than maybe some other careers out there that are instant subject changers. But, you know, it's exciting to have you on the show today and share what you did. You got a great past and a great company you're with. And really excited to have you share what you did with us today. And hopefully we'll have you back in the future and we'll talk a little bit more about some things. So, if you happen to tune in and you missed what we were talking about and you're hitting your fist on the table wishing you could hear this again, feel free to go to WTVN's website at WTVN.com, and you can actually look at archived recordings that we have of the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show, and you can hear this from start to finish again, and you can hear all the great things you may have missed of what Gary's talking about. You can also, if you're thinking about some things that maybe we didn't answer a question or you've got a burning question on your mind that you'd like to have answered, feel free to email me any thoughts or questions that you might have or future shows that you might want us to cover subject matter on, and you can do that by going to info@davefox.com and feel free to send us an email, and I'll be looking at that closely and seeing if we can integrate some of your thoughts into our future shows. Now, looking forward to what we have coming up this next week. If you tune in, again, the show airs from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Sunday morning on 610 WTVN. You'll be hearing next week a guest of ours that we're going to have on. We're going to talk about how to heat up the winter. And we're going to have a gentleman from a heating and cooling company, Mr. Chris Benedetto, join us. And we'll be talking about how to maybe keep you warm through these cold winter days. So make sure you tune in next week and enjoy this 2013 with us as we kick off the year and we get warmed up next week. We'll hopefully have you join us at 8 a.m. next Sunday. Thanks for joining us today. Once again, you're listening to the Dave Fox Home Remodeling Show here on 610 WTVN. Have a great week.